Number one, Sunday morning we looked at, are you ready for your trial of faith? And boy, we know that that's coming, do we not? Talked to a man out there, just got to meet him. Talked to a man out there in front of the church, two-time cancer survivor. Your trial of faith is coming. It may come in the form of health. It may come in the form of a broken relationship. It may come in the, whatever it is, it's coming. I promise you it's coming. And when you're tried and purified, may you remember those gold nuggets right there. Because that's more precious than gold. It's the trial of our faith. Then number two, Monday night we looked at, are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? And that means time to quit sitting, don't you agree? It's time to do something for the Lord. Then number three, last night we looked at, are you ready to get dressed? And to all of you tonight, you dressed up to come to church, and we know that we need to put on those things we talked about last night. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. And he mentions what we need to put on. And that will change our life and change our relationship with people. And not only that, it will please our Lord. And tonight, I got to ask you this question. Are you ready to see Jesus?
Thank you, Lord.
Because you're going to see him.
Yes, sir.
I promise you, you're going to see him. Everybody here, your eyes will behold him one day.
Amen.
And the Bible makes it sure that every knee will bow.
Yes.
Every tongue will confess. Yes. And I don't know about you, but listen, my dad's been gone 4 years ago. Last Monday, 4 years ago, he's been gone. Boy, I can't wait to see him.
Yes.
I can't wait to lay eyes on him one more time. His last words to me, right before he died, he called me on Tuesday night. He died on Wednesday afternoon. He called me on Tuesday night. He had had COVID, and he refused any treatment. He said, I'm ready to go. He said, I ain't put me on no ventilator. I'm done. And he called me, and I still remember where I was standing. He said, son, I want to hear your voice one more time. I can't wait to see him again. My mom died tragically in a trailer fire, October 21st, 1999. This coming year will be 26 years. I ain't seen her. I can't wait to see her. I can't wait to lay eyes on her and tell her how much I love her, tell her how much I appreciate her. When my mom passed away, me and Sandra had no children. I didn't know how to appreciate the love she poured into me. By the way, if you never had kids, you don't understand how much your mama loves you.
Amen.
Boy, the stuff she did for me, she wasn't perfect, but my, how she loved me. I can't wait to see her. But I'm going to tell you something. There'll be no greater joy than seeing Jesus. I'm telling you, to you it may be just a name.
No.
To you it may be just something on a piece of paper. To you it may be something your grandma taught you. It may be something they sing songs about. But he's as real as that man sitting right there. And I'm ready to see him. And there's one of two ways we're going to see him. You're either going to see him through death, are you going to see him through the trumpet?
Amen.
You're going to see him through the rapture. But we're going to see him.
Yes, sir.
We're going to see him. Amen. And tonight we need to look at, there's a man in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that knew he was going to see him through death. And he uttered these words. He said, I am ready.
Amen.
Now don't take that facetiously. I would dare say, most people can't say, I'm ready. Seriously. Now we're talking about saved and lost. We're talking about I'm ready to see him. And the Bible even makes it clear, even those that are saved will all stand before him one day and will be judged for the works that we have done. Now, works don't get you into heaven. But he just got through singing, I mean, one of the greatest, truest gospel songs you'll ever find. We come by faith through the cross. That's how everybody's saved, no matter who you are. The ground's level at the foot of the cross. It's by faith for everybody. And so once you're saved, though, you'll answer for what you've done since you've been saved. And for those of you that Monday night hit you right between the eyes and you're still going to sit and do nothing, one of these days that message will ring in your ears. And you'll be begging God to give you a few more days to do something for God. But the Bible makes it clear, here in 2 Timothy, Paul is facing martyrdom. Paul was eventually beheaded. Paul's in prison for preaching the gospel, and he pens this letter that we see in 2 Timothy. He writes it to Timothy from the prison cell, and he's writing it to him under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's trying to tell him, he's trying to pass the torch to Timothy about some truths that he needs to stand for as Paul steps off the scene. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6, Paul says these words, "For I am now ready." Hallelujah. I hope when my time comes, I can say, I'm ready. I'm ready. He says, "I am now ready," verse 6, "to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." The first part of my message tonight, and I'm preaching you two messages. It's the last night, so I'm just going to load you up while I got you. Don't worry, they're both short. But the first one's this. If I'm going to meet Him as a saved person through death, I want to take Paul's example, and I want to have that. Paul says, "I'm ready." What made Paul ready? This right here, he utters these words, and this is exactly what made him ready. In the King James Bible, he says this. Verse number 6, "I am ready, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight." You can underline this part in verse 7. "I have finished my course." Paul had a personal course that God sent him on. Paul had a personal course, a specific course, that God told him what he needed to do. God didn't just save Paul to get to heaven. God doesn't save you just to keep you out of hell. God doesn't save you just for you to go to church. God doesn't save you just for you to learn to live a life where you try not to sin. God saves you for a purpose. And He's got a specific purpose for every single person in here. It don't matter whether you're a man or a woman, even a child. Once God saves you, there's a reason He saved you. And that is your personal course. And your personal course and my personal course are two completely different things. See, my purpose might be, and I could explain my purpose, because I believe I know my purpose that God's given me. And God saved you, Brother Rick, for a specific purpose. God saved you for a specific purpose. And tonight I want you to know, you need to be able to tell me, what is your purpose? Because if you don't know your purpose, you really can't fulfill it. And that's where most saved people are doing. They're just floundering around. Most saved people are just, "I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven, and I'm trying not to sin. Hallelujah, I think I got this right." But you got to have a purpose. Because if you don't have a purpose, you don't even know what you're doing. Am I right? And so, he says, turn with me to Acts chapter 9. I want to show you something. Acts chapter 9, we see that Paul got saved on the road to Damascus. He had a marvelous, mighty testimony. Remember, Paul was, they called him Saul here, but Paul was, he was a Jewish Pharisee, and he's very zealous, and he didn't believe in Christ, didn't believe in Jesus, didn't want anything to do with Jesus. And if he didn't want anything to do with Him, he said, "I'm going to persecute the church, and I'm going to try to stamp them out and get rid of them." And the more he tried to get rid of them, the more he tried to get rid of them, and then one day he was on the road to Damascus, and a great light shined around him, and Jesus Himself spoke to Paul. And He says, "Saul, Saul, why dost thou kick against the pricks? Why dost thou persecute me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Notice that was the prick that God was pricking him in. Conviction, if you will. And we know that Paul fell down and got saved that day. And then later on in Acts chapter 9 or 9, the Lord spoke to Ananias, and He said, "I'm going to send somebody to you. I'm going to send Paul to you, and I want you to explain to him and baptize him and send him on his way." And then Ananias was a little nervous. Remember that? Because he said, "Hey, I've heard this guy. He's a kind of a persecutor of the church. And I don't know about this now." And so verse number 15 says this, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way." Listen carefully. "For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Guess what Paul's purpose was? To preach to the Gentiles, to kings, and the Jews. That was his purpose. And if you follow the book of Acts, guess what Paul did? Preached to the Gentiles. Preached to kings. Did you know even Paul got to give the gospel to Julius Caesar? He got to give it to Agrippa. He got to give it to Festus. All of them. Felix. Why? Because it was God's purpose for him.
Amen.
And to the Jews. And so when you find Paul in prison, and he's sitting there and he knows his time and his departure is at hand, this is what he says. I'm ready. I have finished my purpose. I have finished what God has told me. Why God saved me, I have finished my purpose here on earth. I am done. He said, I'm ready to go. Let me tell you something. Satan's biggest weapon against us is death. He scares us with it. And we try to avoid it and run from it every way we can. But there's nothing like a confident peace, knowing, number one, that I'm saved, but number two, if I go, I'm ready.
Amen.
I finished my job here.
Amen.
I finished my purpose that God called me to do. And just like there's vessels, and you just have certain glasses in your kitchen at your house. And there's my house, we have glasses, we have plastic cups, we have coffee cups, we got different things. And if I want a hot cup of coffee, I don't go get a plastic cup.
Right. Right.
If I want a hot cup of coffee, I don't go get a glass. I go get the coffee cup.
Amen.
That's the purpose. See what I'm saying? I don't want a glass of sweet tea. I go get the glass. Because I like it when it sits there for a while and the condensation starts rolling off of it. You know what I'm saying? And the ice, and it's so cold, it's just right there good. That's what the purpose. And sometimes I got a certain little glass that my son-in-law bought me, and on the front of it, it says, icy cold milk. The purpose for that one is a bag of Oreos and icy cold milk. That's the purpose. You know what you are? A vessel.
Amen.
A vessel.
Yeah.
Vessel. And now I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things is this. When God said, I got a purpose. And He said, I see a bunch of lost villages in Mozambique. I see some lost sinners. I see some people who need to hear the truth. And He picked me. And He put His hand on me and said, go. What a joy. Some people say, why do you go over there? Isn't that awful? To know that God's purpose for me is to do that thrills me. It's exciting. You know what? I'm excited to come over here and preach to you tonight. You may not be excited to be here, but I'm excited to preach to you tonight. Why? Because I believe it's God's purpose for my life. To preach the Word of God. And you've got a purpose. And all of you have a purpose. And I want to help you find your purpose tonight. Because I love you. And if He invites me back, next time I come back, if some of you ain't here, I hope that if you go by the way of the grave, you can lay on your deathbed and say, even so, come death. I'm ready. I'm ready. How can you be ready? Know my purpose and fulfill my purpose. Finish your course. This is how you know your purpose. Are you ready? Number one, where are you at? Where did He put you? Wherever He put you, that's a good thing. That's probably right around in there is where you're going to find your purpose. How many children you got? I bet I know part of your purpose. Right? How many grandchildren you got? I know part of your purpose. 11 grandchildren? God put them in your life, not mine. I think I've met maybe two of them. That's your purpose, not mine. See that? Jackson, where you go to school at? Westridge. You watch your first class in the morning. Oh, my word. That's awesome. Listen, physics, first period. We need to stop and have prayer meeting for that boy right now. Westridge High School. Ain't my purpose. But where did God put him? That's His purpose. See that? You start where God put you. Some people say, well, I'm praying. I'm just waiting on God to show me what to do. Well, where are you at? Start right there, don't you agree? Because I believe in the providence of God, don't you? I don't know where you work. I don't know your cousin. You got a cousin? What's his name? Her name?
Harry.
Harry. I don't know Harry. Never met Harry in my life. That's your purpose. Not my purpose. It's where did he put you? Isn't that amazing? See, why do I need to go to Mozambique? Hey, I got a purpose in over there in Asheville, North Carolina. I got two children. I got a son-in-law and a daughter-in-law. I got a brother. I got a sister over there. I got a purpose over there. You see that? That man that got saved, he's been working on my job. He's an HVAC man for 20 years. There's my purpose. See that? Where did he put you? Not only that, here's your second question. You want to find your purpose? Where did he put you? What did he put in you? What did he put in you? You'll have a desire to do something for the Lord. If you're truly saved,
right.
If you're truly saved, and you realize what's going on, God eventually will put a desire in you to do something. And whatever that desire is, that's the calling. Some people will wear the altar out and they'll read commentary after commentary after commentary and pray and pray and pray and say, now I'm waiting on God to show me. What did he put in you? Because it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13. You know how I know I'm supposed to be preaching? Because I want to. See, some of you are like, well, I ain't going over there and preach it. You know why? Because God didn't call you to do that. But he gives you a desire to do that. Anybody in here teach children Sunday school? Anybody? Raise your hand. You teach children Sunday school? What grade?
Youth.
You know what? Are you excited about teaching your class Sunday morning?
Yes, sir.
I'm not. I ain't excited about going to teaching that class Sunday morning. You know why? Because God didn't call me to do that.
Amen.
God called him to do that. See the difference? Some of you, God called you for things. And I don't mean to talk about her too much, but I just use her as an example because she's different than me. But my wife, for example, my wife has a huge heart and a huge burden for women who are expecting children. She does. Like if you find a woman in this church, first woman in this church, and you're 6 months expecting and you're going through a shaky pregnancy and the doctors have told you and it's a high-risk pregnancy, you ought to get her to pray for you. Because she's got a heart for it. I'm not trying to be cold, but I don't have that heart. God put that desire in her. See the difference? And there's a desire. Whatever God puts in you, there's your calling. There's your calling. Fulfill that purpose. And God will give you a desire to do something. You a desire to do something. You a desire. I've never had a desire to go to prison and preach. Ever. Ever. And you wanted to do that. And I knew you was half crazy. But to do that? But that's God's calling. You see what I'm saying? So, hey, here we go. Paul said, I have finished my course. Therefore, I am ready. I'm ready to be offered. I'm finished. Not only that, look, turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. I want to show you something else. It's not just Paul who found that. Colossians chapter number 4. There's a guy in the Bible named Archippus. You probably never even heard of him. But listen to what Paul told him in Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. For some reason, Paul had his eye on this young man. And he said, And say to Archippus, take heed to thy ministry, which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou, what?
Fulfill it.
You know what that means? Finish what God called you to do. Finish it. Perform it. And when you do that, one day you are not going to live forever. And one day your purpose is going to be finished.
Amen.
And when it's done, you can say, I'm ready. I'm ready. The time of my departure is at hand. So two reasons Paul could say that. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Number one, he could say that because he said, I have finished my course. That's why he could say it. But there's another reason he could say it. And I want you to listen to me well, because I've noticed around Bible Way, you're blessed because you have a balance of people. You have a balance of age. And wasn't it wonderful up here what them sing a while ago? That's young ladies singing, "I have come by the way of the cross." So you're blessed. Now follow me though, for I'm preaching to some of you, well, you younger ones too, because if you have children, this goes for you too. Paul, two reasons he could say it. Number one, he'd finished his course. Number two, he had passed the baton. He kept saying, the race, he had passed the baton. Who was he writing this to? Guess who he's passing the baton to? Timothy. Look what he says there at the beginning of that chapter. What does he say there, preacher?
I charge thee therefore before God.
Preach the word. You know what he was telling Timothy? I challenge you. I charge you. I urge you. Carry the faith. He passed the torch. You know what's sad? I go in some churches and I'm not again. I thank God for the seasoned saints, for the senior saints. But that's all that's there. Somebody better pass the torch, don't you agree? You better, who are you passing it to? I don't know about you, but if I go off the scene, I hope my son picks it up. I hope my daughter picks it up. I hope there's some young preacher that I've affected that picks it up. I hope if one day if I have grandchildren, I hope they pick it up. One day if you ain't here, I hope somebody picks it up. One day, Brother Gary, if you ain't leading that choir, I hope somebody picks it up. One day if you ain't here to have a burden for missions, I hope somebody picks it up. And it's our job to train them, according to Titus chapter number 2. In other words, we need to make sure we're passing the torch. Don't you agree with that? And Paul said, I've done that. My job is finished. I am ready. I'm ready. Now I hope we don't have one funeral between now and whenever I'm back again. I hope we never have another funeral period. But if we do, I hope whoever it is, you can lay in that hospital bed. You can lay wherever at in that hospice bed. Or you can take your deep breath if you're at home and say, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to see Jesus. And have some excitement about it. Don't you agree? Let's go to number two. So if we go by that way, I hope we can say I'm ready. And boy, we had to use Paul there because he used the phrase this week has been, are you ready? Well, he said, yeah, I'm ready. I wonder, is there any Pauls in the building tonight? Anybody say, hey, I'm ready. I finished my course. I'm ready. And if I'm not finished tomorrow when I get up, I'll continue my course till it is done. Let's move on. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 24. I said one of these ways we're going to see Jesus. And it's either going to be by the grave or it's going to be by the sounding of the trumpet. And let me tell you something, that's real. How many of you believe the cross was real? Say amen. Now, come on, you bunch of deadheads. How much you believe the cross is real? Say amen. How much you believe the resurrection was real? Say amen. How many of you believe after 40 days the ascension was real? Say amen. Well, just as sure as those three things are real, number four is real. He's coming again. Jesus is coming. He's coming. And what I'm afraid is where this world has turned their back on Him. People are ignoring Him. People are distracted. And He says, I tell you when I'm coming. When you think I'm not. He says in Matthew chapter 24, he talks about some different things there. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 44, this is the words of Jesus Himself. Therefore, be ye also, say it.
Ready.
Therefore, be ye also
ready.
Ready for what? Ready for the sounding of the trumpet. Because it's going to sound. It's going to sound. You say, I've heard that my whole life. That's what it says. It says, there'll be people in those days saying, I've heard that and heard that and heard that. Where's the promise of His coming? Where's the sign of His coming? He says, therefore be ye also ready, verse 44, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man, He cometh. But such a time as ye think not, that's when He's coming. And I'm going to show you three things about this coming that I think breaks the Savior's heart. Now you got to realize, He's the bridegroom. He's the one we're supposed to love the most, agree?
Amen.
He's the one, James chapter 1 verse 17, that every good gift And every perfect gift, it comes from Him. He woke you up this morning. He's the one that keeps you alive. He's the one that's giving you sanity. He's the one who saved you. He's the one that died for you. It's Him, it's Him, it's Him. And I'm afraid what we do is we ignore Him, and ignore Him. And He says, I tell you right now, I'm coming. I'm coming. Therefore, be ye ready. Be ready, be ready. And are you ready for the sounding of the trumpet? Are you ready? And I'm going to confess to you tonight. Before this revival, I wasn't ready. You say, how can you say that? You're the preacher. Because there's three things that goes on. And I was number one. Number one, I think we get so caught up in things going on here that we forget about there. We do. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. I want to show you something. Colossians chapter 3. Listen carefully what it says. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. You know what that means? That means our affection, our love, our excitement should be where? On things above. And let's be honest. Do we not get caught up in this? I mean, there's a lot going on here, is there not? There's the stress of having, if you got a job, there's the stress of finances, there's the stress of relationships, and there's the stress pastoring the church, even though you may think it's all spiritual, there's the stress of trying to see this person, trying to keep this person happy, and trying to do this, and it's this, and I'm afraid we get so caught up on things on earth that we forgot about the affection. We're supposed to be setting our affection on things above. When's the last time you kind of got a desire, a longing? I wish you'd just come today. Think about that. When's the last time you went down the road and prayed? Lord, I wish you'd just come today. But you know what we do? We pray for Uncle Joe, and we pray for this, and we pray for that, and we pray for this. It's all about this. And we forgot about that. Think about that. Do you know how real it is? It's real. I mean, it is so real that it could happen at any minute. And we should be excited and expecting, wow, what if the Lord comes today? We're supposed to be setting our affection on things above, not on things on this earth. And I'm as guilty as anybody. Man, it's football season's coming. Man, I'm pumped up. I'm a Clemson fan. I'm saved. You Tennessee fans, y'all need to get right. Hey, man, it's tonight's the night, brother. Listen, hey, but you know, y'all, it's that whole state of Tennessee, y'all, it's like second religion to y'all, is it not? I mean, I've been to Pigeon Forge on the game day. Everybody's wearing, Granny's got orange socks on. I mean, it's crazy. Why? It's like, everybody gets, your affection is what? There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm afraid our affection gets so caught up on this that we forget about that. Now, there's nothing wrong with enjoying things, but why are we more excited about this than that? Why do we love this more than that? I mean, the greatest thing that could happen this year is not Clemson win the national championship. It's if the shofar was the sound. The sounding of that Jewish trumpet. Wow, wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be something for us to just be resurrected out of here? Glory to God. What a sight that would be. Wouldn't it be something to no more sin, no more sorrow, no more pain? I mean, people are looking for America to get better. Hey, who cares? I'm going to the house. Amen. Wouldn't that be something? So we're not to set our affection on things on earth, but to set our affection on things above. And I'm afraid what that does is this. It grieves His heart. It grieves His heart. See, the number one thing is we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And the number one thing is God loves us. And I believe it truly, Forget about sin, right and wrong. I believe it hurts his feelings that we're not excited to see him. Think about that. I think it hurts it. He's the bridegroom. I believe it hurts his feelings that we're not excited to see him. And he's been so good to me. I don't want to hurt him. I love him. Matter of fact, when I see him, I think I'm going to be so overwhelmed. I don't even know what I'm going to say. I don't know what I'm going to do. But according to what Isaiah did, of course what John did, I think I'm just going to fall down. I think I'll probably be just speechless for a little while. I think I'll be overwhelmed with his holiness and his goodness. And I don't think I'll be able to talk. I think I'll just be on my knees, prostrate down. Worthy. Worthy, worthy, worthy. And then if I can ever gather my composure, wouldn't it be something to give him a hug? He said, you believe that? Oh, he's real. Wouldn't it be something just throw your arms around him and give him a hug and say, thank you for putting up with me. And I want to tell you I love you. What if the trumpet was the sound? We get excited about that. But there's three things about this trumpet sound. Number one is, I'm afraid there's a lot of people like me. We get so caught up in this that we kind of forget about him. We pray to him. We read the Bible to him. I read the Bible about him. But is he surreal that we get excited to see him? That's number one. Then number two is this. I'm afraid there's a world that he's coming back to that's turning away from him. They're turning away from him. See what the Bible calls this day and age we're living in? The apostasy age. Apostasy is a fancy word for this. Turning from. That's what it means. See, you show me a church that's going doctrinally sound and doctrinally true and they turn from it and start compromising. That's apostasy. That's what it is. We're living in a world that's a world of apostasy. We've been exposed to the truth, heard the truth, but we're turning from it. And we're seeing that. We're seeing it very clearly. Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So, Jesus loves this world. He said, don't he get mad at sinners? Well, the same ones that was going to crucify him when he come to Jerusalem and he looked over it just days before, he wept. He wept because he knew they was going to turn from him. And see, I'm afraid that we're living in a society that's turning from him by the multitudes.
Amen.
By the multitudes. Now, God's blessed Sandra and I since we've been empty nesters. And I'm going to tell you this, that we've been able to see some different things in this world. We've been able to go some places. And by going to some of these places, it's opened my eyes to just how cold this world is to the name Jesus. Cold to that name. Now follow me on a trip around the world and I'm going to show you something. We went into Istanbul, Turkey. Went in the city. And all along the city you see massive multi-million dollar mosques. And at any moment, maybe once every hour, once every 2 hours, you hear that ringing out. And it'll make your skin crawl. And when that call goes out, that's telling all the Muslims and people of Islam, now's the time to bow and pray to Allah. Now's the time to bow and pray. And there was one big fancy mosque. I'm telling you, I can't even. There is not a building in Tennessee can hold a candle to it. That wasn't a big fancy mosque. They would let you peek in and walk in and just kind of see what was going on, how fancy it was. And I walked in it. I walked in it. And they made you take your shoes off before you went in. Ain't that amazing? They hallow their ground more than we hallow the house of God.
Amen.
So we took our shoes off and walked in. And when I walked in, there's a sign right there on the right. And on that sign, it says, Allah is one God, and he has no son. You know what they're saying? We don't want your Jesus. We have our Muhammad and we have our Allah. We don't want Him. By the millions and millions and millions.
That's right.
By the millions. Then take a plane and go down to South America. And all those countries, Peru, Chile, Brazil, all of them, Argentina, all of them are filled with multi-million dollar massive buildings with big crosses on the top of them, Catholic buildings. And you walk in those what they call cathedrals, and you walk in them, and there's nothing but a tourist attraction, a big fancy building. And you walk in them, and they might be a fancy man up there, and they might be different things, and they'll have little places of holy water along the wall. And they'll have little closets you can go in and confess your sins to the priest. And I remember one we were standing in one time, and not in South America, but one we were standing in one time, and I looked to the right, and there was a line coming out the door, people trying to get in there to confess their sins to a man.
God help.
You know what they're wanting? I want my religion. I want my religion. I want to be baptized as a baby, and I want to confess my sins to the priest, and I want to light my candle and keep the mass, and I want to say all these things that go to the... because I got to make sure I'm good enough and I'm going through the motions. No Jesus, but full of all the fancy artwork, statues, and religion. Imagine the grief that's in the Savior's heart.
Come on, brother.
Then you go on and you travel and you keep on going and you see all kinds of different things and you go to Europe. Any of you ever heard of Charles Spurgeon? Any of you ever heard of the Welsh Revival? You ever heard of these big fancy preachers and them powerful sermons? That's where it all come from. But now you take a plane and you touch down in England. You touch down in Scotland. You touch down in those Switzerland and all those places. And you walk through them and there ain't a church in sight. Except a tourist attraction. You know what? There is no God of Europe anymore. Because it's a post-Christian society. They've decided once we had religion, but we're too smart for that. We've been enlightened, and we don't need that. And they've turned from that. And it's as cold a place morally, and it's as cold a place spiritually as you'll ever find. That's where we come from. And then you cut plane, and you touch back home in America. And you get off a plane, and you look around, and think it's good to be home. And you see a country that once was here, and we've turned. And you listen to me carefully tonight. We always follow Europe. They led the way in a lot of this immoral ungodliness you're seeing in America, and we're going right down the pipe with them. And we are on the brink of being a post-Christian nation. We're on the brink. Imagine how the Lamb of God feels sitting at the right hand of the Father waiting on the signal, go get your children. And He looks down and He sees millions that don't want Him. Millions wrapped up in religion. Millions that say, I don't need Him anymore. We're too smart, too educated for that mess. We don't need that. Imagine the grief. He loved the world. And He loves sinners even today. Imagine that. And we're seeing that. And did you know my daughter just went to Texas? And when she went to Texas, she started sending me pictures of things that she sees. Did you know, you think Texas is a bunch of good old boys, right? Hee-haw! Right? You know what I'm talking about? Hey, she sent me billboards that somebody's paid for going through Texas that say this: Jesus is not God. It's on the billboards in Texas coming through there. She started sending me pictures of that. And it says, if you believe in the Trinity, you're committing blasphemy. All kinds of stuff like that. That's in your country. Right here. And you know what we're doing? We're busy doing all this stuff. And the trumpet could sound at any minute. Jesus is grieved. He's grieved. So number one, thinking about the trumpet. Think of, you got put yourself in the shoes and the heart of the Savior. The one who's coming to get His bride. He's coming to get His bride. And He looks and He sees His bride is distracted. He looks and sees the ones He's died for don't want Him. Want nothing to do with Him. And then the third one's this. He looks and He sees people that realize He is real. Realize He is true. But they just kind of... sleeping. Don't you like that song, The Midnight Cry? Don't you like that story? Next chapter over in Matthew, He comes to the wedding. The 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. When did He come? In the night hour. Come in the midnight hour. Why? Because they were asleep. You know what I'm afraid we got a lot of going on right now? Spiritual slumber.
Amen.
And the other night when I read you those verses, be sober, be sober, be sober. Wake up, wake up. Watch, watch, watch and be ready. Watch and be ready. I can't end this whole series without you hearing this. You better be ready. Because the trumpet's going to sound. And when it sounds, God's people are going out of here. We're going out of here. So wouldn't it be something if we ended this revival with some people saying, I want to be like Paul. If I go by the way of the grave, I finish my course. I pass the baton. I'm ready. Wouldn't it be something if we get down and all of a sudden we have some people? Turn with me to Revelation chapter 22. I want to show you this. Revelation chapter 22. When I was a little boy sitting in church, I used to dream about being a preacher. Can you believe that? I did. I used to dream about being a preacher. And I can take you my childhood Bible tonight. It's in my closet at home. And I remember I circled these verses right here at the end. I circled these verses. And I thought, one day, if my daddy lets me preach, I'm going to preach on that. Just dreaming. Who knows? Maybe I wasn't. Listen, what Jesus, what if we was to get this tonight? Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. Listen carefully. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Did you hear what Jesus just said? I come quickly. Quickly there means suddenly, unexpectedly. Boom. Boom. Then he says, but notice he started with surely and he ended with amen. You know what I believe he's trying to say? I'm emphatic about this. Surely! And then when Jesus said something, he said amen. Does your preacher ever get excited and he says something and he says amen? You know why? He's trying to put emphasis on it. Jesus says, surely, I'm coming. Amen. And you know what we're doing?
Come on, brother.
I think he's excited about coming.
Amen.
You know that? I think he's excited about coming. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you got in a prayer closet and said, come? Because notice, listen, how did John react to that? John said, even so, come. Even so, come. Come, Lord Jesus. What if we all just was to pray tonight? Just come on. Just come on. You say, wow, that scared me to death. You may need to do something then. Just come on. Just come get me. Let's go. I'm ready. I'm ready. You ready for the sound of the trumpet? I'm going to show you how it's going to go down. You ready? We're going to be sitting in church about like this, minding our own business. And we're going to be over there in Istanbul. Them guys are going to be in there with all this stuff bowed down to a false god. And there's going to be some ladies to be, I guess you'll be doing whatever you're doing, whoever that lady is tonight. She's saved, I know, making those no-bake cookies, right? And all that stuff. Maybe you'll be sitting at Pals Say, I'll take one of them sweet teas with crunchy ice, please. You know, large, blah, 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 blah. Be minding your own business going your way. Maybe over in Africa, my buddies. Maybe over in Africa, my buddies will be sitting in their mud little floor, their grass roof, and their wife trying to get the baby to stop crying, trying to nurse that little child, worried about where they're going to get their next little handful of corn, next handful of maize. Maybe they're carrying their water from the watering hole, carrying it up that little grass hut, carrying up that little path. Maybe you've been sitting in the deer stand somewhere. I don't know. Maybe tonight it's me and Sandra go across that mountain, across that state line. I don't know, but I tell you one thing. It may be silent. You may be going about your way. Maybe going about a miracle. It's going to not be quiet when you do. That's the sound of the shofar. When that's sounded in Jerusalem, they know what that means. You know what that means? In the Old Testament, that means we're gathering God's people for a holy meeting. Gather around. It's time for a holy meeting. Go. Out of here, baby. There's the Savior. There's the King. Many are who welcome. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We cast our cross down at His feet. And we say, worthy is the Lamb. And you may see somebody and you say, how did you get here? Let my buddies in Mozambique, let them hear the trumpet. Let these people I've preached to, let them hear the trumpet. I'm a going home. I'm a going home. You know what? I'll be nice tonight. If everybody here, we had revival. If everybody here tonight can say, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. If you're saved tonight, but are you really ready? If you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved, just as sure as you had no idea that shofar was going to sound, you have no idea. It's going to sound. It's going to sound. Maybe some of us need to get in this altar and do this. I want to tell you, Lord, I'm excited. Even so, come. Come. I can't wait to see you. Come. Even so, come. Lord Jesus, even so, come. Let's bow our heads. Can't think of a better song than Just As I Am. Without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Tonight, God's moving. God is moving, and I ask God to be here. And He's moving. Maybe you're here tonight, and you just need to be like me. I need to quit being so excited about things going on here. And it's time we fall back in love with the Savior. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, I'm saved, preacher, but I've got a course that I need to finish and I'm not doing my purpose and I need to finish my course. Or maybe you're here tonight and the sound of that trumpet would absolutely horrify you. Because if you died or that trumpet was to sound, you don't know if you're going home or not. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and I ain't going to embarrass you, but I want you to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I wonder who'd say, "Preacher, I'm saved. I am saved. But I'm not fulfilling my purpose." And tonight, I want to be like Paul. I want to be ready. Would you slip your hand up, honest before God? Pray for me. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I wonder who'd say, "Preacher, if the trumpet sounds, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. That makes me a little nervous. I'm not going to lie. And I want to be sure I'm ready to go. I do. I want to be sure." Would you slip your hand up, young man, young woman? God bless you. Who else? Pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure that I'm saved. But boy, I want to be excited to see Him. Excited to see Him. Anybody else? Just slip your hand right up. I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I want to be. You that raised your hand, you're not sure? Come. 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 Don't leave a meeting like we've had and miss your opportunity to know that you're saved.